Check out the BU Podcasting community at BUPodcasting.com.
Welcome to Akron Community Voice, a partnership with Be Me Akron and BUPodcasting.com. Now here's your hosts, Kat McDaniel and Ace Epps.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Happy New Year. It's a new year for you and yours. We got a lot of stuff going on this year. I just want to be able to right off the bat hit you with a whole nother beat. All right. For you and yours. So listen, Kat McDaniel is not here with us today as we begin to talk about the Watiles. We are the ones we serve. This is a podcast. Shout out to everyone that listens to us on iTunes, Spotify, all of that good stuff. YouTube, Facebook, all of that. Listen, we have somebody special in the building today. I know you guys are familiar with some of the people that we bring in, but we wanted to start the new year off on a good foot. The new year off on a great foot. All right, we just finished with Kwanzaa. We just finished with holiday season. So what better way with Martin Luther King Day coming up to bring in somebody that I believe that always reflects the legacy of such a bold man. This is Dr. Goggins, ladies and gentlemen. Give it up for Dr. Goggins.
Hey, how y'all doing?
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well, man. It's always good to be in your presence. It's always good to be supporting the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
In the community is always cool. And it's just cool to be around you. You always got stuff going. And
yeah.
Just love it, man.
Man, I had to put a whole nother beat on for you, man. I need the people to feel you the way I feel you. You know what I mean? To me, I look at people as our personal superheroes, our own Avengers, man. And Dr. Goggins is one of those individuals, an educator, who always look and seeks to put education first of our youth and our next generations, man. If you can, I know I spoke a little bit about you. Could you tell some people who've been living under a rock or some new listeners, right, exactly what it is you do, brother?
Well, I think of myself first as an educator and a scholar. I've been a part of this community, good grief, since 1970, my family moved here.
Mm.
Come from a family of educators, and so I've always had an eye for education,
mm-hmm.
even though I was just laughing about this the other day, was thinking back that I swore up and down I would never go into education as a profession, swore up and down, I'll never get my doctorate, that kind of stuff. But it was just in me. My grandfather was involved as a superintendent back of the parish way back when. And so this over the years, just a person that got involved in the various education movements here in Akron, trying to encourage youth empowerment, ways in which we think of education. So over the years, has been involved with different initiatives, as you know, going through University of Akron as a part of Black United Students and doing some of the things that we did there to encourage the university to recognize Black students in a more authentic way, and was involved with a number of activities professionally, got involved in education professionally, and the work that I do in terms of my scholarship around identity development and achievement, so getting involved with rites of passage, getting involved with youth mentoring. Those are, you know, just some of the things that I've been doing over the years, and then currently now serving as your NAACP education chair.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, working with, working in the community to watch, you know, what's going on, to raise some questions, and to give some input about ways in which education is being delivered here in the Akron community.
All right, and so listen, just to be able to there's an elephant in the room, brother, about education and teachers and stuff like that when you're talking about Akron right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a colleague that's an educator. I know a lot of them talking about strike, going on strike. And when I found out what they're going on strike about, I'm not going to say either or, mm-hmm. but are they going on strike because they think the kids are dangerous? Am I tripping?
Is it something like, it's in there somewhere.
It's in there somewhere. So that is the struggle, right? So, you talk about coming off of Kwanzaa, we often use the very famous or very well-known proverb, it takes a village to raise a child.
Come on now.
But there is a let's say, a complementary or a companion proverb that goes along with it. When a village neglects a child, the child will burn the village just to feel the warmth. Mm. Right? Mm. And so children are rarely the cause. They often reflect the symptom. And so whatever violence or whatever unruliness that is being manifested in schools by students, it is rarely because these kids are this. It is more often a reflection of the environment in which they are responding to. It is more reflective of the ways in which they are encountering and experiencing adults. And so any discussion that speaks to or is or any person's seriously concerned about the ways in which children are experiencing the school or education, or seriously concerned about the quality and the nature of the education that's being provided, has to put at the center of that the ways in which young people are being nurtured, the ways in which young people's needs are being resourced. You know, they often talk about behavior, and we behavioralists will say that behavior is communication. So when you act a certain way, it is communicating a feeling, a perception, right? That even when, with our own children, when they act out, when they're screaming, when they're doing whatever, it's because they are feeling either insecure, scared, they're feeling frustrated. There's something that behavior is communicating. And if we're not having discussions about what is being actually communicated, then at best we are just concerning ourselves with the comfort of the adults.
Right, right. And so when you're thinking about obstacles, mm-hmm. barriers to education, mm-hmm. what is your opinion on teachers that actually get the kids? All right, can I just be honest real quick? Mm-hmm. Black teachers. Let's mm-hmm. go black teachers.
Okay.
Right. I did a poll last week, and we were saying that if the people that's on the fence about striking or the issue of the kids being dangerous or whatever, I'm wondering, what's the percentage of teachers that are black that are mentioning the same stuff, or are black people just as afraid, or are they actually being able to understand where they are and being part of this village, right? Mm-hmm. I took a poll, but there's no data out there that says what that is in Akron, right? So in your own opinion, do you think we're talking, what's the percentage of black people you think is having a problem with these kids, teachers?
I
is it 50-50?
I couldn't tell. I dare not say, because I am committed to being a scholar to this. I can't just throw out some numbers like that. But mm-hmm. I can say that we do know, we have experienced, there are certain teachers that don't experience those problems, right? Almost in every school, if you look at who was being referred and who was doing the referring, there's almost always a disproportionate group of students that are being referred and almost always a disproportionate group of teachers that are doing the referring. That is almost always the case. The struggle is, as it has always been, I often go back to Dr. Asa Hilliard. He says, I never encountered a group of children that are not geniuses. We know what to do. The first thing to do is to treat them like human beings. Mm-hmm. The second thing to do is love them. Mm. I used to say this quote before my professional developments and say, you know, if this quote confuses you, nothing I'm going to say is going to make sense to you.
Right? Dig it. Yes.
There's one particular time I decided, you know, this is a warm up. Let's just talk about what does it mean to treat students like human beings? And what I thought was going to be a quick, you know, just kind of an exercise, end up being much longer. And I had folks, you know, teachers looking at me like, you know, what does treating them like human beings have anything to do with teaching?
How dare you teach a human being, right?
I'm like, because these are young people. These are young human beings, you know? And jokingly will often say, in many cases, if they were a product, they would still have the warranty on them.
Right. Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they're young human beings. And then when I said, you know, after about 20 minutes of that, so what does love look like in the context of your school, in the context of your classroom? And I had teachers, again, in this one particular case, get downright mad that I asked a question. One gentleman got up and walked out the room. I don't know. And I was like, I said, you know, and make it so bad, we were in the community. We were at a Salvation Army post. And I said, maybe this sounds familiar to you. Love is kind. Love is not rude.
Right.
Love hopes all things. Love endures. You know? I said, so I'm not talking about some kumbaya kind of thing. Just practically, how do you practice kindness in your room? How do you avoid being rude in your classroom? How do you persevere in your classroom? What strategies you have to demonstrate hope in your classroom? How is it that you do not revel in evil, but you rejoice in righteousness, or, you know, what is right, what is good in your classroom? I said, this is a very practical approach. If you can identify how you honor the human being, I said, so in this case, what are some just basic beliefs that you have that all humans are about? I said, here's three for me. All humans are designed to socialize.
Yeah.
All humans are designed to protect. All humans are designed to learn. So how is it that I socialize? How is it that we create a bond? How is it that build a relationship? How is it that I honor your presence, call your name? You know, the first time you hear me call your name should not be to tell you what's wrong with you.
Dig it.
The first time that I connect with your parent shouldn't be to tell your parent, here's what's wrong with your child.
Right.
But just build a relationship, establish a relationship. How is it? And we see it in these various videos that come around where the teacher has, a unique handshake for each child.
Yeah.
Now I'm not that person. I'm not going to be that.
40 kids coming in that room.
Right. I'm not that person.
Right.
But there's something that has to be established so that each child recognizes being seen in that avatar, I see you kind of way, right? Mm. But just the way in which that you establish a connection, right? All human beings are designed to protect. So how is it as a teacher that I establish, I'm here for your protection? We're gonna, as I talk to my students, We can talk about ideas, but we don't talk about people. It's cool for me to say, you know what? I think what you said was stupid, but it's bad for me to say you're stupid for saying what you said, right? If you want to take them to task about what it is that was being said, take them to task on it.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But we won't disrespect the person for, right? So that's the level of discussion that we have. And, you know, and I break that up, depending, you know, be it if we're talking at the college level or talking at elementary, you know, you say it different ways, but at the end of the day, you can take a person to task and discuss the idea that they expressed, but at no point do we dishonor the human being, right? And as the teacher and as a adult in the classroom, I model that. I have to model that,
mm-hmm.
right? And where I fall short, I got to apologize because the expectation that you're going to do the same, right? But we're going to honor and protect you. That also means, you know, Ace, let me come talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have the side conversation over here. I'm not going to front you in front of class because now you got to protect yourself.
Right.
And particularly if I haven't established my connection to the rest of the class and they see one of theirs being attacked,
mm-hmm.
I'd expect for them to come after me. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm going to step on some toes here, but some of this about what's going on in the classrooms becomes to what extent has there been an established a connection so that the students recognize the teacher and or the adult as a person who will provide protection versus a person that is threatening me, right?
Mm.
And it's not to say that there are traumas and experiences that students are coming into the classroom with that has nothing to do with the nature of the relationship that they have with the teacher. But nonetheless, it's how, you know, again, these kind of stuff that gets me in trouble. But I'm saying, but as the adult,
mm-hmm.
and the professional in that classroom, you must be prepared to deal with that and know how to deal with that, right? And so there's that. And then the other thing is learn, that all human beings are designed to learn. So the only real question is, how can I convince you that the subject matter is worth you learning? It's not that you can't learn.
Right.
It's not that you won't learn.
The Boston Tea Party.
Right. Like, it's just that, why is it that you want to learn this?
Yeah.
Because you're going to learn your stuff. You learn
mm-hmm.
you learn the lyrics for the tune. You learn the latest game. Yep. You learn, you know.
The fashion, all of it.
So it's not that you don't learn.
Yeah.
It's convincing you that the thing that I'm presenting
mm-hmm.
or the discussion in the classroom
mm-hmm.
is worth your effort to learn, right? And so how do we make it relevant? How do we make it real? How do we... Those are the things in which then, as again, the adult and the professional in mm-hmm. the room, that you have to do.
So listen, we're sitting here with Dr. Goggins, the scholar, our local superhero, one of the We Are the Ones We Serve, guru of education, as far as I'm concerned. Man, listen, for those that's going to be listening to this podcast or could be listening right now who haven't been in a classroom for a while, right? Mm-hmm. When I think of a classroom, I instantly think high school, right? Mm-hmm. But there's also junior high school, elementary. How has the high school climate, far as relationships between student to teacher, changed since when we were in school? I remember Mr. Johnson was Mr. Johnson, and Miss Johnson would be more, you'd be less likely to disrespect Miss Johnson because she reminded you of your mom or your mm-hmm. aunt. And most of that time, you think that the bark from a teacher has a bite on it. You don't need to get a SWAT.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to come to your crib for real and wasn't scared to do it.
Right. So that says you said it right there, right? And so, you know, right now the fancy stuff is social-emotional learning.
Yeah.
Right. And at the center of social-emotional learning is the idea of relationships to yourself, relationship with others, and that centering the human being provides the foundation upon which then you make good decisions, you have self-management, all these other things. So it's a new-ish term and thing right now that was made all the more what's the word I'm looking for here, that the pandemic highlighted, exacerbated, brought attention to how central this is. But we would be remiss to think that this is some new revelation.
Right.
I used to serve on the equity work group for CASEL, which is the Collaboration for Academic Social Emotional Learning, the national group. And I would point out, I would like, you know, I'm listening to this kind of some of the first time, and I was like, this sounds a lot like Jomo Kenyatta, what he was talking about in Facing Mount Kenya. He talks about that education takes place in the context of relationships. So you learn in relationship to grandma, you learn in relationship to grandpa, and it is in that context of relationship that then learning made sense. But not only did you learn, not only did you learn content, what to do, you learned how to act in that, right? Mm-hmm. And what was the expectation? So back to your point. And I shout out to Mrs. Vivian Neal. She was my first grade teacher.
Okay.
Thought she was so mean.
Right.
Not because she did anything bad, but she had the nerve to call my mom. Yeah. Walk up to my mom at church. You know, your child was so-and-so, you know, Lele was doing so-and-so and so-and-so, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We would do something on the weekend, and the adults were around, and here come Mrs. Neal.
Your teacher go to your school,
right, church. You know, that kind of stuff. So, you know, like, but when I got to college, mm-hmm. it actually took me to college, and I was like, what I thought was mean was actually high expectation.
Mm-hmm.
What I took as always on my case was someone who saw something in me and did not allow me to settle for anything less than, right? You know, and it's like any young kids. Again, we're talking about young human beings who are still trying to figure out what it means to be a human being. So by definition, they tend to test the limits.
Right.
But we as adults should be able to set the limits unapologetically. And again, as the adult and now the professional, someone who is supposedly specially skilled in human development.
Absolutely.
And in teaching. Then what are the ways in which you allow students to practice where those barriers are, right? Without a child push-ups against it, or knowing that the coming out of the pandemic, these kinds of things, right? So all of that to say, particularly in high school, what we are seeing because of the pandemic, there's this concept in Reichs that says that you tend to operate out of the last successful transition, right? When you're so if your last successful transition was in seventh grade, mm-hmm. no matter how old you are, you tend to operate out of a seventh grade mindset, right?
Mm-hmm.
That many of our high school students now, the last time they sat and was socialized in a classroom, for many of them was there's you know, seventh grade or you know, those kind of things. And so these last few years, these last couple of years now, the last year and a half that we've been back in school,
mm-hmm.
there's a whole adjustment that has to be made, right?
Right.
And so it's off kilter. It's not the same. You can't. And the other thing that goes on with education out of the pandemic. Now, when you think about education, when you think about a high school class, many people still think of education as being something that takes place within a classroom.
Right.
Between
8:30 and
3:15, right?
Yeah.
And the pandemic blew that away. I can learn any place at any time.
And if all and if your strategy and skills and handouts and stuff is still just between 8 and 3:15, and you require it to require the experience to take place within these four walls, you're antiquated. Mm. We're not going back to that.
Wait. I am not going to Google antiquated after you leave. What the?
You are outdated.
Mm-hmm.
You are working with a bad operating system. You need to update.
Yeah.
No,
I totally got you. You're using tape when you should be using digital.
Yes.
I got you.
Yes.
Dr. Goggins, listen, we could talk about this forever, which is why we're going to have you back on. But you do have 365 Black. And then you do have, we have both of those, except Cat McDaniel took them from me.
Okay.
I'm going to let you know right now. And would you explain what those are and where we can get those?
Sure. I brought three. So 365 Black, Nuggets of Wisdom for Each Day of the Year, mm-hmm. is a book that has a nugget of wisdom, a saying, a proverb, a passage, one for each day of the year.
Let me see that, man. I got that one. This one she took. This one she. How much is this book?
That book is 12. It goes for what is it? $11.95.
Mm-hmm.
$11.95.
And these selected, edited, and arranged by
me. Yes.
You said Lele. Act like I didn't hear that, Dr. Goggins. I ain't gonna mention that. Don't make me mad. I'm gonna be all right on Facebook.
Hey. Okay. Those people who know.
Yeah, right. But look, this has been great because we were doing this thing on our show called The Morning Motivations, and we was reading a couple of these from it. And we're not doing the motivations going forward this year, but I would love to incorporate this 360 Black, just nuggets of wisdom, you know, and then be able to cite you every show, right? All right, got my producer over there to my right, to your left, helping me out with that idea. And so we have to start off the first one, sure. All right? And mm-hmm. let's have Dr. Goggins read number one for the first day of the year for you, our first episode.
Okay, so number one, make yourself the subject of intense study and you will find God. This is a proverb coming from Commit.
Come on, man. You deserve a soul clap for that one. Soul clap. Dr. Goggins, when can you get your books from, and flashcards too, right?
Right, so there's 365.
Mm-hmm.
Then the one you were talking about, Bringing the Light into a New Day, mm-hmm. African Center Rites of Passage. This is a book that discusses the process of rites of passage, not a program, but the process and model. So it talks about the purpose and function, the structure and process, the transformative power of rites of passage. And it gives some examples of using rites of passage. And actually, this book first came out 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm this upcoming year, I'll do a 25-year update on it.
It's going to do the remix, ladies and gentlemen.
And then there's Facing the Rising Sun. This is a card deck that is organized by the different Nguzo Saba. So we just came out of Kwanzaa. So there's Amani, there's Kuumba, there's the different sets here, and there are seven lessons in each set, and so these are opportunities to do family activities. They're great for, I have folks that are using them for youth groups. There are things to do during Kwanzaa, of course, as well, because Kwanzaa should be something more than just, you know, going out, lighting some candles and doing those kinds of things. And you also hear about, in Kwanzaa, we talk about, we ought to be doing this, practicing these principles throughout the whole year. And what this does, if a person was just to do one a week, you would pretty much get through the whole year. With the principles. And so that deck is called Facing the Rising Sun.
All right, so look, man, this is what we're going to do, man. This is something we're going to be doing on this year's show. And it's a drill questions.
Okay.
This is just a couple questions I'm going to throw out to you.
Mm-hmm.
So our people can get to know you a little more. But they're based on your education stuff and your stuff like that. So just without elaboration, just as quick as you can say it, I need you to tell me the answer to these questions, okay?
All right.
Drill questions. You ready for this?
All right.
What made you decide to become a teacher?
Wanting to make a difference and seeing how young people respond and telling the truth.
How do you cope with stress?
I cope with stress with lifting weights, playing chess, pool, and Uncle Nearest.
All right, Uncle Nearest. Oh, yeah, no, that's my favorite uncle, right? Right. What's your teaching philosophy?
Oh, constructivism and African-centered. The combination of making meaning.
How do you incorporate social-emotional learning in your lessons?
Social-emotional learning is at the foundation of everything. How do you respond and how do you respond to, acknowledge the human being? That's the foundation of learning.
All right. How will you encourage parents to support their children in school?
Show up. Well, number one, know your child. Show up to advocate for your child. And the teacher should know that whatever the teacher does is just supplementary to what you're doing with your child.
What's your idea about grades? What's your thoughts on grades in general?
Oh, grades are beautiful. They mm-hmm. but you know what they are. They're just a snapshot of what a moment. I often tell my children, my son currently, that the teacher should never have higher expectations for you than what you have for yourself.
You're a hip hop guy, yes?
A little bit.
Yes. I need two of your top two MCs based on their voice.
Based on their voice.
On their voice.
I gotta go with, I still, Rod Digger.
Oh.
Love her.
Oh, the voice too.
Oh, yes. And still, my man, Rakim.
Rakim the God.
Yes.
All right. So listen, man, I want to thank you for coming on to the show with us. Shout out to Cat McDaniel and also Joy Gadsden as well. We're going to have him in the studio live. This is our first podcast for 2023. Dr. Goggins, any last words for yourself?
Hey,
what you got going on?
They say I appreciate the work that you're doing. I got a lot of stuff that's getting ready to pop off, and I appreciate the support from the community. And, hey, love and peace.
All right, man. Hey, you guys, check us out on all of our platforms. Talk to you soon.
Welcome to Akron Community Voice, a partnership with Be Me Akron and BUPodcasting.com. Now here's your hosts, Kat McDaniel and Ace Epps.
Check out the BU Podcasting community at BUPodcasting.com.